We're giving the band a workout this morning. Thank you. Truly we are blessed. I just think about that first Hanukkah. Trying to imagine the joy that must have been felt to reclaim your home. The ancient sources say it was 8 days of the best food and wine, that every treasury was opened, that the people celebrated to the best of their ability. The miracle of the oil, well, we'll leave that for now. And from that day forward, 8 days at this time of year to celebrate that victory, to celebrate being a people, this incredible survival story that is the Jewish tradition. For centuries upon centuries, putting these candles in the window or the doorway to say, we're proud of who we are, we're proud of being this people. I understand Hanukkah was a relatively minor holiday until maybe the 20th century in America, when lots and lots of Jewish little kids started asking, where are my presents? And what was a smaller affair with a bit of gelt and some game playing has turned into something a little more widely seen and celebrated. And if it once was a source of a celebration of a military victory and nationalist pride, if you read the writings of today's rabbis, Hanukkah is a story of religious freedom, of the survival of a people. And our observing it today gives us a chance to say thank you to the people of Israel and their teachings, these most ancient, enduring, wonderful teachings of justice and neighborliness that we name in one of our sources, Jewish and Christian teachings that call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. On this particular Hanukkah, I cannot help but compare and contrast the spirit of tolerance and respect and mutual regard and peace that we enjoy here in the United States, here in Sonoma County, with what might be happening this time of year in the Middle East, in the Holy Land, the Holy Lands of so many people in the newspaper day after day. It can make our heart hurt. This is one of the sacred places of the world. And yet violence and unrest endure. I wasn't sure whether to bring it up today, but it feels at such times it's difficult to talk about Judaism without talking about the Middle East, without talking about what's going on in and around Israel. But I can't say anything about that. What would it actually take for me to feel like I could say anything about what ought to happen in the Middle East? I'd have to read 100 books. I'd have to meet 10,000 people. I'd have to study thousands of years of history. I'd have to learn the personalities of all the people who ever come together at those negotiating tables or across the fence from each other with guns and rockets. Who knows? I love to think of peace as something simple. But we see real situations in this world of ours that are so complicated, it's like a Gordian knot that gets tighter the more you try to pull it apart. Often all I can do, and maybe you feel the same, is give a bow in that direction and say a prayer for peace. And we can go on ignoring what's happening there, but I find amazingly, even those distant conflicts ripple into my world. I get to meet with some of our local rabbis on a regular basis, with interfaith organizations and so forth, and I will tell you, there is no more delicate, tender, barely able to be talked about subject than Israel. It affects the ability of even our Islamic neighbors, to relate to our Jewish neighbors. And within synagogues, to even discuss it is a source of, it can be, I understand from my rabbinic friends, a source of great pain. Because many American Jewish people have also gone to the Holy Land and seen what is going on there, and they themselves cannot deny that the government of Israel is denying basic human rights to the Palestinian people. I can't say how to pull that piece apart, but when again and again and again the casualty counts are 300 to zero or 270 to six, something is wrong. And it's heartbreaking because Israel is called by Scripture to be a beacon of hope and peace to the world. They are not alone in their responsibility for it. Good heavens, the Ottomans, the British, the Palestinians, us, we've all played roles in that ongoing struggle. But I read in the prophets, Jerusalem is supposed to be a light on a hill, a light of peace, and it breaks my heart. And if it breaks my heart, I think, gosh, if I were Jewish, how would I deal with that? And I think the only answer, often, is to be, as Aaron said, to be and practice peace within our own lives, within our own community, with the different peoples we engage with right here in Sonoma County. Now, guns and violence, they change everything, but most conflict has something in common. Conflict within ourselves, conflict with our friends and our loved ones, conflict between nations. You can even think of something, a situation in your own life. What do you do about conflict? How do you find the way to peace? Certainly the ignore it strategy doesn't work. If you are in conflict and you just try to ignore it, eventually it will kill you. One possibility is just outright do battle. Fight it out. Accept that the winner will just win, that history unfolds, that sometimes people get gobbled up, and that's just how it goes. Better, learn more. Name again and again the universal principles that unite people. Again, open up our eyes and minds and hearts. Realize that whether it's just between us and a friend or between two nations, it is only when both sides win something that anybody wins at all. Accept that there must be difference in the world, that each people must be free to direct themselves, that each person must be free to direct him or herself. And it never hurts to take the long, long view. Such stances open us to the lens of love, to the ability to see shared humanity in the other, the shared sacred nature that we have with every other person. And to resolve to be peace in oneself is a fundamentally faithful act. Whether it's with a friend we cannot find a way forward with, or again between nations, to say we are for peace is to behave a certain way, to commit yourself to something, even if there's no certainty about the outcome. We have to have faith that peace can be had. I was reading various articles about, you know, the Middle East conflict, responses to this vote of Palestinian statehood, and there was these kind of right-wing folk on a Washington Post blog. They said, I quote, "As we have said consistently, we believe Palestinian militants will never stop attacking Israeli citizens." Well, if you go into trying to solve a problem believing that the other side will absolutely never agree to peace in any way, how can you possibly open yourself? If you've already decided your friend will never understand you, they say the Palestinian militants will never stop attacking. I say, of course they will. When the conditions for peaceful coexistence are present, people don't want to be at war. They want to eat and drink and laugh and have holidays with their families. If you just let their kids do their own thing, they play together with each other. They don't care what their religion is until they're taught otherwise. Peace is our natural state. If we can tap into that, we create a ripple that goes outward, much as the ripples of conflict come in, and we can send that energy back out to the world. If we grow peace in ourselves, hey, then we can start to grow peace in Sonoma County. And though it does not carry the sting or the violence or the oppression of these conflicts in the Middle East, we've got plenty of our own. You would think that you can't be a business person and an environmentalist at the same time if you live in Sonoma County. There's real conflict between the Latino community and law enforcement, between the citizens of Rohnert Park and an incoming casino. How, with these smaller, simpler ways, can we live lives of peace and model what a harmonious community looks like? That's the question I put before us. And on this day in particular, how can we solve these problems, address them at all? I would love to see this congregation be the host of ongoing interfaith dialogue, and I am eager to get us involved in community organizing again so we can be in hands-on work again with our Jewish and our Muslim brothers and sisters. Our principles call us to demonstrate that, to demonstrate peace through dialogue, peace through engaging differences, not smoothing them over, not trying to make everybody the same, but celebrating our diversity and our difference with our common humanity. I am so grateful that we are free to celebrate this holiday today in this way that we are, and my heart breaks for those who are living in times of violence. So let us light our Hanukkah lights, our Christmas lights, our chalice lights as one people, for peace, and may be so today and evermore. Amen. We'll sing a song. It's number 221.